was amazing. This is the worst part. I got puked on when I summered as a lifeguard pre-med school. Sit up, Jack. Oh, hell.
She helped him with an arm behind the shoulders. His eyes were open, glowing like chips of molten ruby in the caverns of washed ivory.
Better?
Yeah. What the fuck happened? Tree grabbed me. Need water? Gonna bought the farm.
Ryan pulled you out. You should thank him.
And Mildred brought you back to us.
Ryan tried to wring water out of his clothes. He dislodged a black leech from his wrist and stared at the blurred streak of diluted blood where it had been happily feeding.
Thanks, Mildred. Ryan?
The woman grinned and patted him hard on the back.
Think nothing of it. Just take 2 tablets and call me in the morning if you don't feel better. You do have Blue Cross coverage, I take it. Oh.
Jack shook his head, bewildered.
No? Then I might just have to throw you back in the river.
It was the middle of the afternoon, and they'd been climbing steadily for the past couple of hours. The vegetation was beginning to show the first signs of thinning out, and the overwhelming heat was easing a little. Christy was taking her turn with Ryan's Panga, which had by now lost its keenest edge. They had just beaten their way through a towering cluster of waxen, orange, and scarlet flowers, whose twisted trumpet shape defeated even Christy's knowledge of botany. She held up the Panga, the steel dripping emerald sap.
Listen.
Ryan was next in line.
What is it, lover? Trouble ahead?
Christy shook her head.
2 things. Heard them both round about the same time. One of them is a kind of drumming. Drumming? You mean the war brought some kind of weird natives along with the jungle? Because trust me, Minnesotans know nothing about rhythm.
Christy didn't smile.
Don't know, but it's definitely some kind of rhythmic drums. Could be 3 miles or more ahead. Over the ridge that we're heading for.
You said 2 things. What's the other one?
Ryan noticed that her hair was suddenly curling in closer against her neck and shoulders. A sure sign that she felt some kind of trouble threatening them.
Don't know. Mixed up sort of signal, like some animal or lots of animals. But it's overlaid with a lot of fear. How do you receive that kind of signal? Do you see it in some way?
Christy looked at Mildred, blinking as though she didn't recognize her.
Oh, sorry. My mind was miles away. How do I feel threats? Don't know. Maybe if I knew, I couldn't do it. Mother Sonia taught it to me back in my homeville of Harmony. No, taught isn't the right word. She showed me how to use something that was already within me. Can't tell you more than that, Mildred, sorry.
Orange alert. Move a little slower. I'll take point, Christy. It's my turn, babe, that's all.
Ryan took the Panga and began to slice through the undergrowth, leading them slowly toward higher ground. 15 minutes later, they became aware of movements in the jungle around them. First, it was small animals, swinging high and invisible in the top branches, chattering and squealing excitedly as they went. Then it was bigger creatures, lumbering along narrow, twisting paths, parallel to the track that Ryan had found. Birds, many of them just brightly colored blurs, hummed between the low branches, squawking madly as they flew south. An animal resembling a panther, but lower to the ground, and with light gold stripes across its flanks, came straight at Ryan. He drew a bead on it with the blaster, holding his fire until the last moment. The creature cut aside, breaking through a scented bush. Its eyes had been blankly staring, and its muzzle laced with white foam.
Could it be a blaze? I have seen this sort of terror down in the southwest many years ago. Every living thing for 50 miles was racing for its very life.
Wind's blowing toward us. Can't smell smoke.
JB took off his hat and smelled the air.
Yeah, no fire. Something else, though. Maybe worse.
There was an enormous tree about 200 yards dead ahead, with multiple trunks that twined around one another. The leaves were dark olive green, shiny in the late afternoon sun.
Make for that. Give it some shelter and a fire defense from whatever it is that's coming this way.
At that moment, Ryan distinctly felt the earth tremble beneath his feet, as if some massive underground monster surged deep below him.
Fire blast, what the...
Mildred jumped sideways and clutched at Doc's arm. Ryan noticed that the old man didn't make any attempt to remove it.
This is a dreadful place, this Deathlands. Maybe you ought to have left me frozen back there.
For several minutes, the jungle had been filled with pounding, racing life. But the tropical vegetation was so thick that it wasn't possible to do more than glimpse what was happening. A large brindled wolf, dangling a mewing cub from its jaws, appeared on the path, stopping as it saw the six humans blocking its escape. It snarled through bloody teeth.
Chill it.
No, JB, let it pass. It's already terrified. Why chill it?
They all edged back into the bushes and luxuriant shrubs, opening up the track. After a moment's hesitation, the wolf moved toward them and padded quickly along, glancing over its shoulder as though it sensed something rushing behind it. The animal soon vanished.
A frightful fiend doth close behind him tread.
Listen.
Christy stood stock still, the silvered Heckler & Koch pistol gripped in her right hand.
What?
Can't hear a sound, lover.
That's the point, isn't it, Christy? It's totally silent. So what put the fear of the Almighty into those creatures? What comes on silent feet?
Get to the tree!
The light wind had dropped, and the sweltering heat had returned. They seemed to stand at the center of a dome of overpowering stillness. They'd closed half the distance between themselves, and what Ryan could now see was a ponderous mangrove tree, when he glimpsed something in front of them, across an area of more open ground that was dotted with light yellow flowering bushes. His first thought was that a dam had burst somewhere up the slope ahead of them. It looked as if a stream of water, shimmering and gleaming, had forked around the massive trunk of the tree. But his second thought was the right one.
Ants! Muti ants!
Behind them lay the jungle and any number of fleeing, terrified creatures. Their flanks were cut off by impenetrable walls of jungle, which left one possibility.
Come on!
The stream of ants was only the advance guard, which numbered in tens of thousands rather than in tens of millions, but still enough to make the race for the shelter of the mangrove one of the most desperate of Ryan Carter's life.
Holy shit!
The mandibles were huge, disproportionate even to the insect's grotesquely mutated size, longer than a man's finger. Those at the front reared up on hind legs, their heads turning from side to side.
Ah!
As Ryan led the charge, the very front row retreated a few yards, then regrouped in a solid phalanx of glittering death. To hesitate was to die. For the first dozen steps, Ryan tried to dodge the ants, but they were packed too closely for him to find any clear ground between them. The crunching of delicate skeletons beneath boot heels almost drowned out the sounds of a moving phalanx. Ryan kept moving, powering himself toward the tree, which was now only 20 yards distant. He didn't dare turn to see if the others were making it. A stumble would be fatal. He could now see something of the main body of the killer army behind the mangrove. Not an inch of ground was free of the iridescent horde that swept toward him. Weighing up the chances as he ran, Ryan had already spotted several low branches within easy reach. He became aware of Jack sprinting past, white hair streaming behind him like a snowy banner. The boy made the tree a torn fragment of time ahead of Ryan, diving for a branch and swinging himself onto it with prehensile agility. When Ryan was perched 4 feet from the carpet of ants, he was finally able to look around for the others. He saw Christy running like someone dancing on hot coals, trying to pick her way between the muti insects. JB was level with her, running flat-footed, deliberately crushing as many ants as he could. Mildred and Tanner shared last spot in the desperate race.
Go! Go! Go!
Ryan reached a hand down to Christy and heaved her up beside him.
Thanks, lover.
JB made it on a lower branch to the left of the mangrove, standing up and looking down at the tide of insects, hand trembling over the butt of his pistol, as though he wanted to spray lead into the limitless swell of the ants. But he recognized the utter futility of the thought.
Doc!
The old man stumbled and nearly fell, ants snapping at his knee boots.
Come on!
Mildred snatched his elbow, keeping him on his feet and bringing him close enough to the giant mangrove for JB to haul him up in a flailing tangle of arms and legs. A muti ant managed to nip her just above the left ankle. It clung to her flesh as she staggered the last few steps to the tree. Christy and Ryan both stretched out hands and pulled her off the ground.
Jesus! Get that mother off me!
Ryan swung a fist at the huge ant that pincered her leg and its sawing mandibles. Its thin neck snapped and the body fell away, legs twitching, to be immediately swallowed in the sea of its voracious fellows. But the head remained in place, feelers vibrating, huge eyes swiveling in their sockets. Blood was flowing freely through the thin material of Mildred's pants, soaking her sneaker.
Fuck! It's still biting me!
Cautiously avoiding the snapping mandibles, Ryan squeezed the ant's head between finger and thumb. Its skull was as large as a rat's, and it was all he could do to keep a grip on it. He pulled it away from Mildred's leg until the claws came free. The severed head wriggled in his grasp, trying to snap at him, until he dropped it to the ground. Ryan was unable to restrain a shudder of deepest revulsion.
Let's get higher! Bastards are trying to figure a way of climbing up here after us!
Fighting to control his breathing, Ryan looked down. The army of killer ants was now moving in a sinister, restless silence. It was like being suspended above a sea of molten lava, endlessly shifting, surging around the trunk of the tree. The armorer was right. Already a few of the nearer insects were on hind legs, exploring the smooth bark of the mangrove with their feelers.
You okay, Mildred?
Oh, yeah, I'll make it. The bite burns like it injected acid.
Thank you, madam. I never fathomed that I might, mayhap, end my days as live food for ants.
Christy had been peering above them, into the dark, leafy boughs. The roots that twined beneath them all seemed to finally come together in a single main trunk.
That way. Gotta find a place they can't come at us in numbers. Get up there and spread out.
Ryan looked where she pointed and nodded his agreement.
Yeah. Everyone, Jack, go first.
They're climbing on each other's backs.
The place was so quiet now that he hardly needed to raise his voice for the others to hear. The ants were forming a brazen pyramid, scrambling over one another's bodies, gaining height. Within a few seconds, their leader